They told me to do three things tonight. They told me three things. They didn't tell me to do three things. They said three things to me. One is that you're really tired. Second thing is be sure and inspire. And the third is do it all in a half hour. So I'm a little nervous. I've never shared a message in my life in a half hour. So hey, this will be a first. Do you mind if I take my watch off just to keep my eye on the time? I do want to say that there are going to be three themes in the leadership this year, anyway. Three things that I'm just going to hammer the daylights out of them on the issues of brokenness, integrity, and clarity of vision. I think that's where God is leading. That's what He's saying to us as navigators. Isaiah 66:22. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit, who trembles at my word. Now that is a broken person. It takes a broken person to tremble at the word of God. Lots of people can study the word of God, but few can tremble at the word of God. People who will walk with integrity, Psalm 78:72, he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them according to the skillfulness of his hand. Integrity of heart. What does it mean to have integrity of heart? Thirdly, a person who walks with clarity of vision, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. I'm going to be talking a lot about the issue of brokenness, the issue of what it means to be a broken work, corporate brokenness, ministry brokenness, and personal brokenness. What does that mean? What does it mean to have that kind of brokenness as a people? You know, I was thinking the other day as I've been looking at navigator history, the beginnings of the navigators are very humble beginnings. When you pick up the book Dawson and you look in it, what do you see? Well, you see a man who's not well educated. You see a man who starts the ministry at a filling station in a little back room, working with sailors who are poor. And you watch and you trace the navigator history, and really it wasn't until we really started working with students, and then those students started to graduate, and then as they graduated, then they became a little better off, and then navigators started to think of themselves in a little different vein. And then in the 70s, while we became a fairly wealthy organization, and then as we look at the whole picture of the 80s and what God has done, and you look at today, the navigators are an organization with a budget of $88 million. We're a pretty wealthy organization. You look at this Glen, and you look at all that God has given us. God has marvelously blessed us. But one of the dangers with blessing and comfort comes also the problems of loving it, the problems of having a sense that somehow we've done it. And last night, I on my flight into Colorado Springs, I just read through Jeremiah, and I was amazed to discover once again that the children of Israel really did not know why God was sending Jeremiah to prophesy against them. They had lost their understanding of what it was all about. They had lost their sense of brokenness, and they were building nice homes even to the end. And they were caught in materialism. I thought, wonder if that could happen to us. Wonder if that could happen to the Navigator ministry. I think about the early days when I was around Brad Adkins, and I'd go over to his little house, and we'd sit there and we'd memorize scripture together. 5:30 in the morning, a Bible study. We were pretty humble people, pretty broken people in some respects, learning how to walk with God and learning how to serve Him, and just not having experienced all that we experience today. Now, one of the things that's on my heart in the Navigator work is that somehow we could rediscover that and discover the brokenness, the 50 days of prayer, really being on our knees before God. People who hunger and thirst for the very presence of God, the living presence of God, people who are really listening to Him, people who are not thinking, I can do it, but only through a personal, intimate, dependent relationship with the Lord will I become a really person who is mightily used of God. Today, we're better educated, we're economically better off. In many ways, we have more skills than any generation of navigators in history. But the task is so much bigger. The problems that we face are so much more overwhelming. And if we're not careful, we're going to trust our methodology. And we're going to trust what we know and who we think we are and our ministry philosophy rather than the reality of who the Lord Jesus really is. And that we may forget that without me, you can do nothing. You can do absolutely nothing. But who will the Lord look to? To him who is humble and contrite of spirit, who trembles at my word. As Phil was mentioning, you know, when we went through one of the deepest valleys of struggle with our daughter, the battle was overwhelming. But it took me a long time to figure out what God was doing. And what he was doing was he was taking a man who had gone through a number of experiences, and he was saying, you know what I have to do before I can do through you what I intend to do? I've got to break you. And I love this little book that's been written. I'll be sharing it with our leaders next week. Broken in the Right Places. God taking us and breaking us in the right spots, just in the right spots, so that we are broken before the living God. Now, that's something that God is calling us to, and I honestly believe that if we don't learn that lesson, and if we don't humble ourselves before God, and if we're not broken before God, I don't believe we're going to experience the blessing that God is calling us to. And I'm going to get into that in a few minutes a little later on. Second area, integrity. Surprising to me, very, very surprising to me, is that every time we have had a leader retreat of our national leaders, and we've had a group of people going off and praying for us, they've come to me and they've said, we keep getting the same thing as we pray, the issue of integrity. Now, Jerry White shared with us in our National Leader Retreat one of the best messages I've ever heard on integrity. But this next leader retreat, which comes in just a few days, I'm going to take the time to spend a considerable amount of time on the issue of integrity because I'm sure that God is speaking to us in this area. Now, I'm not quite sure what all the issues are. Interestingly enough, last week I was with another individual, and I told this individual who was on our staff that I was going to be speaking on integrity. And he said, well, what do you mean by integrity? And I shared with him some of the thoughts I had, and I said, well, I said, I don't really know, but I said, I am concerned about sometimes how we handle our expense reports. I said, I'm concerned. I said, I sent someone up to our office upstairs and sat down with one of our individuals in the accounting department, and I had them just ask the questions, what are the issues of integrity in this organization? And a half hour later, a person came downstairs with a list of 12 things that person had listed. They were watching us do our work, and they were saying, navigators have issues of integrity. But the surprising thing to me, not really surprising, somewhat surprising, was that the person who was talking to or was listening to me said, well, I have some concerns about integrity. And he started talking about leadership. And he started talking about navigator leadership. And he started putting his finger on things that made me very uncomfortable. And it was interesting that I became in my own heart a little defensive. And he would say something, and I would start to say, well, but you don't really understand. And then I caught myself, and I thought, God is teaching me. And God's showing me a whole other area here. Exposing issues in leadership. He asked this question. He said, now how can a leader who makes more than an adequate salary write a prayer letter as though the leader is poor? He said, now how can he do that? And I thought for a moment, and I thought, yeah, that's manipulation. Number of other things, as I thought through in those areas, and as I listened, and as I considered, and I thought, yeah, God's speaking to us about these things. God is saying to navigators, before I clarify the vision, and before I call you clearly, and before I promise you, I've got two things to say to navigators. Navigators, all of you. Alan, number one. The first issue is brokenness. Brokenness in the right places before me, so that you can hear my voice. And I recall in 1989, 5:30 in the morning, I was leading Vision 2000 Canada, involved with the navigators, leading a whole national ministry, and I was reading Isaiah 49 and Isaiah 55. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And I got up, and I got on my knees over where I prayed, and I said to the Lord, Lord, whatever you have to do to make me and my family hear your voice, do it. I had no idea of what was in front of me. I have this question for navigators. Maybe when God comes to us and he says, listen to me, hear me, that I might promise to you what I intend to do. When we turn to God and we fall on our knees and we say to God, whatever you have to do to help us hear your voice, do it. I wonder if we may not see suffering in front of us. But I wonder if it may not be through that path of suffering to the blessing and the promise of God. And with integrity, I wonder if God is going to come to us and is going to say to us, you navigator leaders are asking your people to do things that you shouldn't ask them to do. And I'm wondering if he's going to come to the staff and say to the staff, you navigators who are out there in your ministries, you must walk in integrity before me. And until you do that, I cannot fulfill my promises through you. Now, personally, I'm convinced that that's what God is saying to us. And those are the issues that I'm going to be driving home in these next few months. A third area is clarity of vision. Now, I started a few years ago, looking at navigator history. Navigators have philosophies all over the place. Someone said in the selection process, navigators don't divide on doctrine. Navigators divide on ministry philosophy. Isn't that interesting? That's the safe ground. I can't attack you personally, but I can attack your ministry philosophy. Oh, he's so relational. She's too structured. She's too rigid. Oh, he's too rigid. While he couldn't get anything done because he's not even focused on what he's about. His ministry philosophy will never get him where we need to go. As long as I can remember in the Navigators, we have criticized our ministry philosophy. And usually we seek purity of ministry philosophy. And I've wondered, is there anything that is really consistent as you move through Navigator history? We in the 70s were sitting down and asking ourselves, now what is it we're really trying to do? Is it disciple makers? Is it makers of disciple makers? And finally, we landed on the word laborer. That was in the 70s. It took us that long, but we all knew what we were talking about. We knew what we were looking for. But if you say laborers in the Navigator work, we all know that that doesn't quite say it. It's a little bit of a black and white statement. Yes, laborers, disciple makers, but we're about more than that. And I was looking through Navigator history and asking myself the question, what is it? What is it that Navigators are about? So I carefully read through DOS, just marking, looking. Well, it looks like this is what they were looking for. And then I started to ask people like, I talked to Leroy Imes, talked to Warren Myers, talked to Doug Sparks, talked to Jim Downing, had a long conversation with Lauren Sanney, asking this question, what is it that Navigators are about? And I boiled it down to four things. That Navigators are always about these four things. One is a passion for the lost. Navigators are about a passion for the lost. Second thing is Navigators are committed to a multiplying ministry that produces two outcomes, laborers and leaders. Navigators have a passion for the nation, and Navigators have a passion for the nations. Now, it's interesting, when I say Navigators have a passion for the nations, it's interesting, as you move over the world and as you talk to people who have come to Christ through the Navigator ministry in their nation, they have a passion for the nation. But we, in the U.S., bypassed that one and kind of blended them together, the nation and the nations. But I would suggest to you that in Dawson Trotman's 40 Days of Prayer in California, that he also prayed for every state, and we got a hold of one of Dawson Trotman's Bibles. We started looking through Isaiah, 40 through 66. And as we went through that, we found that he was marking things like the desolate cities, and he was marking things like the nation, and then the nations. And then he was praying for 3 million sons and daughters. Isn't that something? And then as I looked at Dawson Trotman as he started, he was first a man of prayer and then evangelism. Then he discovered people needed to be followed up. And then he went to soldiers or sailors. And as he got involved with sailors, what was he looking for on those ships? Multiplying ministries. And then he starts describing the people. There's a certain kind of person coming out of those ministries. And usually it could be described as either a laborer or a leader. Then I got a hold of the Collier's Magazine article that was written in 1941 when a fellow went to the West Coast to write an article on the Navy, and he met some navigators, and so he wrote a national article about the navigators. And you should read that article. How many of you read it? About half of you. Well, it's an amazing article because these people literally had fire in their eyes. And one thing that is absolutely clear, and that is they had a passion for the lost. And an incredible passion for the lost. And the Navigator ministry was constantly being shaped. And I would suggest to you that these things, when they're active in the Navigator ministry, are things that energize us and put fire in our soul. Last night I was coming in on a flight. I was talking to a fellow from Europe. And as we were talking about the Lord Jesus, we were philosophizing. Hinduism, Confucianism, Buddhism, Islam, Catholicism. We covered all the bases. And I looked at him and I said, well, you know, first we had Marx. First we had Hegel. Then we had Marx. Well, really Nietzsche before that. And then we had, then as we moved through the process, we ended up with Marx and then Lenin. I said, it took about 100 years for it to run its course. I said, that's been the way it's been throughout history. Then I said to him, but I want to say something to you if you'll permit me. And he said, okay. I said, as I sit here beside you and I talk to you about Jesus Christ, I said, I've tried this with people all over the world. And I said, I'll dare to try it with you. As you sit here and listen to me and I tell you about Jesus Christ, Your head may tell you many, many things, but your heart is saying to you, what that man is saying is true. And he looked at me and he said, you're right. Isn't that amazing? The power of the gospel. And I got in the car with Becky and I said, there's something that just energizes my soul when I tell someone about the Lord Jesus. And I tell you what, it energizes every navigator in the world. But lots of times we're afraid. And as I've asked our leaders, what I've discovered is they tell me that this is true. That Dawson Trotman launched a ministry, and throughout the war years, the navigators were aggressive in going to the lost, in setting up basically multiplying ministries with two outcomes, laborers and leaders, and a passion for the nation and the nations. Then when these men came back from World War II, what they did is they started working with the saved in their churches, the schools, and different organizations. And most of our elders will say that in the 50s, while the navigators broadened, what happened to us is that we also stagnated in the grassroots. And then through Campus Crusade's influence on Leroy Imes, and then Leroy coming through in the late 50s, there was a cry, and I heard this cry in 1964, evangelism is the cutting edge of our ministry. And it was that that stirred our hearts, and we went to students, and we had a sustained ministry for over 20 years of real fruitfulness. But the interesting thing is, among students and military, as we bore that fruit, as we related them to the body, what did they do? They started going to schools, different places, and in the 80s we stagnated because of change in culture, but also because we were working just with the saved. Well, we've been going through that transition for about 12 years now, 10 to 12 years. And now we know how to relate to the lost. And we know how to develop a disciple-making ministry. And we know how to develop laborers and leaders. And we know what it means to have a passion for the nation and the nations. But now we must do it. Because I believe that God is saying to us in Isaiah 49:6, He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nation or nation, so that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Now, he is not saying not to work with the saved. What he's saying, it is too small a thing. What he's saying is do the whole thing, work with all of it. That if we, as navigators, restore our passion for the lost, commit ourselves to a multiplying ministry, two outcomes, laborers and leaders, a passion for the nation, and a passion for the nations, God will light a fire in our hearts. If we do any less than that, we'll stagnate. It will cause us to die inside. And that's why Leroy said evangelism is the cutting edge of our ministry. We begin with the lost. We lead them to Christ. We help them grow. We develop them into laborers and leaders. We send them to the nation and the nations. That's what we're about. And when we do it, God blesses us. When we don't do it, God doesn't bless us. I believe that God is saying to us out of this passage and all the way through Isaiah 49, right on through Isaiah 60 and 61, God is saying to us, navigators, listen, I have something to say to you. If you will go up, and if you will develop a passion for the lost, a commitment to a multiplying ministry, that has two outcomes, laborers and leaders. And if you will commit yourself to the nation and to the nations, I will bless you in such a way that you will say, where have all these children come from? And if you will learn to love these people as Jesus did, and if you will be a ministry of the few to the many, so that you will come among people and you will take broken ones and you will bind them up, and you will take those who mourn and comfort them. And if you will take little ones and turn them into oaks of righteousness, I am telling you that if you will do that, then I will bless you and you will say, where have all these children come from? But I fear that we will not go up. I fear that sometimes in our lack of brokenness, perhaps in our lack of integrity, and in our unbelief, and in our fear of the world that we live in, the tragedy will be is we will lose sight of the power of the gospel to transform lives. And we will lose sight of the power to bring about reproducing ministries that will produce these kinds of people and will lead us to the nations and the nation. That would be disastrous. Because I think that what the real tragedy that we have in the Christian community today is that we live with incredible fear, and so we look for greater and greater comfort. And we look for things that we can do that we like to do rather than going up to war and doing battle. Now, I believe that God is calling you. Those who are in the military ministry, 1.7 million people. God originally called us to military people. And I did a little research on our Navigator ministry, and I found that we've had more staff come out of the academies and some of the key areas of the military ministry than any other dimension of our ministry. And I look at that, and I look at the bases, and I look at what's out there, and I've seen those bases. And I look at it, and I say, what a powerful target audience to go to. What an incredible audience to walk into. And I look at those bases, and I think the danger is that, yes, you need to relate to that chaplain. And yes, you need to get permission to operate on that base. And yes, you need to do all that is required, but you cannot fear the lost. And as I have looked at the military ministry, one of the things that is a huge concern of mine is that we're moving out and we're touching people, we're relating to people, we're loving people, but we have a real fear of bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus to lost people in the military. And as I've challenged people to go on the bases and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus, bring the power of the gospel to people, as we move out, as we walk on the base, as we talk to people, I observe that God opens doors. And we can share the Lord Jesus with people. And people just like that fellow on the flight, or a fellow two flights ago, or my neighbors, they will hear the gospel. And they will listen. It may take time to relate to them. And it may take time to love them and to bring them into the Scriptures. But we need to believe in the power of the Word of God. Again, we need to restore it in the Navigator work, whether it is to help believers grow or to lead the lost to Himself. It makes no difference. And I suggest to you that in the military ministry, go up. Go up and trust God. Have a passion for the lost. Commit yourself to a multiplying ministry. Two outcomes, laborers and leaders. And commit to relating these people to the nation and to the nations. And God will give it to us. I close with this statement or illustration. You know, I prayed in 1989, Lord, whatever you have to do, do it. God led us to Asia. And I was claiming this verse, Isaiah 49:6. And one night, far out in a city called Madiun, Indonesia, I had preached to a group of Muslim believers. And when it was over, a fellow who had taken the English name Johnny came and he stood right beside me and he unfolded this map, this painting. And as he unfolded the painting, he turned to me and I looked down in the lower right-hand corner of the picture and it said Isaiah 49:6b. And what he was saying to me is he was saying, Alan, you have come to the ends of the earth. This is it. It was a picture of rice paddies where these people had come from and had come into the city to hear the Word of God shared. And I looked at that verse and on the bottom corner of that painting, and I said to myself, I've just gotten to the ends of the earth. And I came home and I said to Becky, it won't be long, and God will be bringing us back to the U.S. And he did. Now, I didn't know what he was going to do. And I didn't know whether this verse was for me or whether it was for the navigators. But when I went through the selection process, I made a decision. I will hammer this passage. And I will not move off of the message. Because if I am selected, this will be the passage that we will build it on. This is where God is leading us. So I won't talk about the corporate needs. I won't talk about anything but this passage and what we're called to do. And God brought it about. And what I'm saying to you is that that is where God is calling us. God is saying to us as navigators, navigators, it is too small a thing to bring back the people of God and restore Israel. Do it by all means. But what I am saying to you is I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and I will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth through you if you will only trust my promises. And if you will only go up, and if you will only believe me. And I'd suggest to you tonight that it will take, first of all, brokenness before God. Integrity before God. And then a commitment to a clear, clear calling. We as navigators are called to a what? Passion for the lost. A commitment to a multiplying ministry. Two outcomes. Laborers, leaders. A passion for the nation and a passion for the nations. Now that is our calling. That is the trumpet sound. Let's go up. Let's pray. Father, I pray, O God, that you will make us people who are broken before you. I pray, Father, that you will make us people of integrity. And I pray, O God, that you will give us the courage to go up and be a people who develop a passion for the lost. A commitment to a multiplying ministry that will have two outcomes, laborers and leaders. That we will be committed to the nation and the nations. That your salvation might be brought to the ends of the earth. Oh God, I pray that you will do it. In Christ's name, amen.